Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
For all NBA warriors, you are now tuned into Golden Spaces with Nat, Justin, and Karima.
What up? What up? It's Golden Spaces and the Odyssey Original Podcast. Sorry, it's back to me again, guys. I know you got a tape of the ladies' night. You know, Nat and Karima held it down. But we're going to have to wait a little while before we see Nat again. It's me and Karima here tonight after a dub. Well, there was an L in between this dub and the last dub we talked about, but we got a dub, so we're going to keep the vibes up. The vibes up tonight.
Exactly. I was like, we no need to, you know,
yeah.
Go negative. We can stay positive in all of this.
Yeah,
that game's true. In the past. What game?
Yeah, we'll touch on that game a little bit. But tonight, the Warriors beat the Jazz 118-110. They were up by almost 20 for a lot of the game. I think at the end it got a little dicey there, but they held on. No Steph tonight. They gave him much needed rest. Obviously, Draymond also played 21 minutes and then got some rest. He did have like a wrap, like a kind of like a compression thing going on with his lower back, I think, on the bench. Could be precautionary. Who knows? It didn't look like he was in like some pain or something like that. It's probably just like making sure he doesn't injure anything. So they cut his minutes short and then they let the young guys kind of take us home. But like, what's your feeling after this game? Big takeaway. I know it did get dicey in there, but what are you feeling?
I'd say the big takeaway in this game would be that the younger squad actually stepped up and played really well all around. You know, my guy Moses was, you know, acting up a little bit or whatever. However, he was still hustling on defense like he always does. Got some steals, got a block in there as well, grabbing some boards. So still, you know, doing what he can on defense. The offense really wasn't all the way there, but he still made some shots, some key drives. But still, I just think Kuminga coming back after being out for 6 games, he looked like he didn't miss a beat, and also looked like he took some notes while he was off because he was all over the boards, but his energy level was through the roof, which I figured it would be after you miss so many games. You're just ready to get back out there and show off. And he did. He did that. And that was great to see. But overall, I just think the young squad, you saw some really good stuff that kind of helps you feel, I think, a little bit better going into this postseason. So,
for sure. I mean, I've been saying all season, they got a really good young group, right? They may not have a Wimby in their group or Chet Holmgren or something like that, a future superstar. I mean, we can't tell the future, but like, Kuminga, 21, Moody, 21, Pajemski, 21, Trace, I believe, is 23 or 24. Mm-hmm. And these guys can play. Like, they all can play. Now, there's obviously a learning curve that comes with, you know, playing in the NBA and gaining that experience. So it'll be important for them to get postseason experience for the further of their career. But we know right now that they can help this team right now, right? Trace is starting. He's been starting for the last, you know, a few weeks, it seems like.
Yeah.
16 points, 7 rebounds in 23 minutes. It seemed like when he was out there, he was grabbing every rebound, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, he's doing everything you asked him to do. He had 4 blocks. He's finishing everything around the rim. He's making the right reads out of the rolls. He knows how to set good screens and get guys open. So, can't really ask for much more from him. We've been preaching that all season. We're glad that he can finally settle into his role as, you know, the big for this team to help Draymond and just help this team in general. And Pod's kind of finally found some offense, like a lot of offense for him. 16 points, 2 threes, was getting into the lane, kind of sneaky Euros and all of this stuff, crossovers. What did you think about his game just overall?
I thought it was much better. There are still some points in there where it's sticking too much to him and a few too many shot clock violations for me. And also sticking and not making the pass. Like, come on, get it moving. Because he missed Moses a few times where it was just like, pause, you don't have anything going. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And he's staying just kind of dribble, looking around, but not actually looking. But still a positive game from him because he is more confident taking his shot and he's making them now. So I think that that bodes really well for us moving forward and for him and his confidence. So I still thought he had a really good game today.
For sure. I definitely agree on the probing issue that he has. Like, he'll get into the middle of the paint and just kind of like dribble, try to pivot. And he doesn't have anything. And it's like, yeah, you probably got yourself in trouble here. But he has that issue. And Moses, we mentioned his he didn't have the best offensive game. But I think one thing with Moses is picking when and when not to attack. A lot of times he'll have an advantage and then he'll just pick his dribble up. And he's because he's thinking like, I got to keep the play rolling.
Right.
Right. But it's like, you can keep the play rolling, but you also got to continue to be a threat. Don't pick your dribble up because now you're trying to force a pass to a guy instead of being a threat. So now the other team just knows they should just deny the ball. So he got to stop doing that a little bit. And I mean, Kuminga, we already talked about him, like 21 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Didn't miss a beat, it seemed like. I think everybody was a little nervous about the injury or the issue that he was having, the tendonitis. Because he missed the last few games or missed like 6 games in a row.
6. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing with tendonitis is like when you have it, it's very hard to play through it almost. Like it's pretty painful depending on like the severity of it. And the only way that you can really get rid of it is if you rest and like let the tendon heal itself over time and then strengthen it up before you return back to sport. So once they kept saying it was tendonitis, I wasn't too worried about it. It's just a matter of when his body is ready to return to sport. Now, if he goes back down with it again, then it's like, okay, they didn't do, you know, what they needed to do to prepare him to come back. So that would be a little worrisome. But, you know, athletes get these things sometimes, especially a guy like him. He's a leaper. Like, so you're putting a lot of stress on that patellar tendon. So it's one of those, it's just one of those things. Hopefully it's just, this is the end of it. And he can just kind of be done with it from here and just, and continue to play because I mean, whether he's starting, whether he's coming off the bench, he's going out there and he's making an impact offensively. And that's what they're going to need from him in the postseason to help this team win. Speaking of the postseason, if you guys can read the title, with the Rockets loss, to the Mavericks today, the Warriors officially clinch a postseason berth via the play-in. Right now, they're going to be no lower than the 10th seed. And that means they have at least one game after the season ends. They can make some noise. And whether they end up higher than 10, we have to wait and see. It's still like a battle between like 4 or 5 teams in terms of order with about 4 games left each team.
Yeah.
So it's going to go down to the very last game, probably, just like it did last year. Or was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, I felt like it was last year, too.
Yeah, last year. I think they needed the Clippers to lose or something like that. Like,
yeah.
So same deal. The Warriors just got to keep winning. If the Warriors win out, then they've done their job, and it's just up to the other teams to lose a little bit more. So
we could potentially be at 7 at the end of this season. Potentially.
Potentially. There's a path. There's a path. I guess I can break it down a little bit. So the Warriors, if they win out, they can have a maximum record of 47 wins. So just based on that, we'll operate under the assumption that they're going to win out, right? They play the Lakers, the Trailblazers, the Pelicans, and Utah. Now, obviously, they can lose to those teams, but just for the sake of this exercise, we're going to say they're going to win out and win 47 games. The Lakers' remaining schedule is they play in Minnesota right now. I'm not really sure the score. They are losing by 15. LeBron did not play. So they're probably going to lose that game. But either way, they can finish with a maximum of 49 wins if they went out, if the Lakers went out. Now, the Lakers do play the Golden State Warriors. So in the instance that the Warriors went out, they obviously would beat the Lakers. So that means the Lakers can only win 48 games. If they lose tonight to Minnesota and lose to Golden State, then Golden State will probably pass them because they'll, at best, they'll end up tying at 47 wins and the Warriors would own the tiebreaker. So they would leap the Lakers. Now you go to the team that's above the Lakers, which I believe is, who's immediately above the Lakers? The Kings?
No, I think the Kings are below, and I think the Suns.
No, the Kings are eighth.
Oh, okay.
Yep, the Kings are eighth. Okay.
The Pelicans.
The Pelicans are above them. So the Kings are eighth. They have 45 wins right now. They have four games left, which means they can win a maximum of 49 games. Now, the Kings also own the tiebreaker over the Warriors. So if they win 47 games, they are above the Warriors. So they would have to lose three of their last four, which is the Thunder at the Thunder, the Pelicans, the Suns, and the Trailblazers. Now, the Thunder, the Pelicans, the Suns are also fighting for seeding. So they could beat the Kings all those games. And the Kings could very well end up below the Warriors. The Pelicans, who are seventh, have 46 wins. They just beat the Suns today. And they have four games left. So they can still win 50 games. But obviously to be under the Warriors, they would have to lose to the Warriors, which is one of their remaining four games. And I think they would have to lose at least one more of the two more of the remaining games as well. So they got to lose three of their last four for the Warriors to tie them and then overtake them via the tiebreaker. So there's a path to passing all of these teams. It just kind of it gets more and more unlikely as the higher you get up.
Right.
And then the Suns as well are 46 wins with four games left. Clippers, Kings, Timberwolves. So they can lose all of those games as well and be under the Warriors. So there is a path to the Warriors climbing up out of 10. How likely it is, we just have to see. I think the Warriors just should focus on winning out.
Exactly. I was just about to say, let's just focus on us. Like, we don't have to worry about what the other teams are doing or have to do. It's kind of just like, we got to take a game by game, and we want to win every game here. Exactly. On out.
Just win every game, and then you're probably going to be higher than 10, but you never know for sure. And then make sure you're going into the playoffs healthy with guys peaking and, playing as good as they can possibly play at this point relative to, the lengthy season and stuff like that. It was good to rest Steph tonight because he probably needed it. He was looking a little tired for the last few weeks. So getting him some rest, potentially getting other guys rest when you play some of the weaker teams. Like, you're going to play Portland at some point to finish the season. So just – gear up for the tough games and then kind of taper down like you did tonight for the easier games. Apparently, according to producer Greg, AD did leave the game with a face injury. So we'll have to monitor that because the Warriors' next game is against the Lakers. If there's no AD, LeBron was sick tonight with the flu.
Alleged.
The flu. But if there's no AD, that's just advantage Warriors for sure. So that's something to monitor as well. We obviously don't want AD to be injured, but that's just, we got to, be realistic about it. If he's not playing, that's an easier win for the Warriors.
And I was going to say, Andrew was out with the ankle sprain as well this game. So hoping that with this extra day off or whatever, he'll be ready to be back for Tuesday. Cause either way, we're going to need him anyway. Going up against the Lakers. So we'll see. I don't think it's that serious because they haven't even come out with what grade it was or anything like that. So it seems like it was just a tweak and, hey, we're taking the precautions, sitting him out for these games. And hopefully we see him back Tuesday.
Yeah. I think to me, it just seemed like we don't need to bring him back for the Jazz. So let's just not bring him back for the Jazz. You know what I mean? So hopefully, like you said, is very minor and he can go, he's good to go against the Lakers. But that's the path right there, right? They're no lower than 10th, but there's a path to climbing up as high as seventh or maybe even like there's a very, very, very thin chance that they can even climb up to six. I think some of these teams play each other. So I don't even know if that's a realistic thing because they'll, you know, one of these teams will be getting a win to their record.
Right.
So I don't know if six is realistic, but 8 and 9, I think, is realistic for them, depending on if they win every single game that they have left. That would be actually pretty amazing because if you're in the eight, then you get two chances at it. And I think that's ideal, the most ideal for them right now. Well, six would be, to just be clear of it. But yeah, in terms of the play-in. So just looking, I guess, at the team as a whole right now, like we're looking at certain trends with players. Like we got Trace coming into his own now. Klay Thompson is another guy who just seems like he's kind of finding his groove finally.
Yeah.
You know, over the course of the season, it's been up and down, up and down. He'll be cold for a stretch. He'll get a little bit hot, then he'll be cold again. But it seems like he's finally hitting another stride and putting together like good performances, efficient shooting, volume shooting, hitting a lot of threes. What are you seeing from Klay recently that just kind of like puts into perspective like what he's doing out there?
Yeah, I think it's the mindset that has changed. That really, once his mindset changed, his game started to get back into the way we know it should be. But we also take into account that he is older and coming off of injury. So yeah, he may not have, you know, the Killer Klay games that we're used to, but we still will have a Klay that is a bit more efficient and kind of just locked in at each point, even if he's not, you know, just hitting all his shots, but he's going to come to work on the defensive end. So I think with the mindset change, you've seen how his game has progressed and has helped us along the way. So I think, like you said, he's hitting his stride now, like he's finding his rhythm. He's in a groove right now. He's feeling good. You know, he's doing his whatever. But I just think he's even more positive and his confidence, I think, is back, you know?
Yep, for sure. For sure. I think, you know, like if you look at these, his last 26 games, he's averaging 18 and a half points, 45 and a half from the field, 40 from three on 9 attempts, 94 from the free throw. And I got to find like exactly when Trace was inserted into the starting lineup, but it just seems like his numbers are, he just looks like he's more under control now when he has a lob threat with him. His decisions are a lot easier to make because a lot of time during the season, he's coming off these pin downs and two guys come with him. And it's like, well, I'm gonna hit the roller, but the roller is Dario. The roller is Loon, right? Like, it's like they get the ball and they're just not going to do anything with it, where Trace is just dunking it every time, or at least kicking it out, or just making a dynamic play off that action. So just another thing that Trace has added to this team is he kind of unlocks Klay a little bit more on offense. They unlock each other. And then with Draymond on defense, it's the same thing. Like, he just helps put Draymond in a position that is best suited for his skill set defensively, which is the roamer, the guy who can disrupt things and put fires out all over the court while he has somebody behind him, still protecting the rim and still rebounding the ball. So yeah, big, big stretch here from Klay Thompson. He's looking like the Klay Thompson they need him to be. They don't need him to be 25 a game, anything like that. Just give a solid 17 to 19 points a game, hit a few threes, stay efficient. Don't turn the ball over. Don't take ill-advised shots. Just take the good shots that are for you. And if you're hot, you know, you can let a few heat checks fly because they're probably going to go in. So, he had a great performance tonight. I believe he had 32 points. I got to go back and pull up the box score.
Yeah, it was 32. And his playmaking was on point. But that's what you've seen when him and Trace are together. You see it. But I feel like it's ticked up even more. He's making better decisions in that capacity. So that's really good. Because it's not just oh, it's only to Trace. No, he's finding other people and getting them their shots.
And that's something with Klay that like more so came after the second injury, after the Achilles. Like he wasn't really doing that as much. He was doing a little bit before the Achilles injury in the ACL, but he came back more of a ball handler than before. I think he had a lot of time to actually work on his handle. Now he's not out there Kyrie Irving, but like he can still get to where he wants to get. Guys rarely can knock the ball away from him. And he understands his gravity, so he'll go through and just kick it out to guys and make some reads. So I think they should just kind of lean into that a little bit more, letting him be more of a decision maker with the ball in his hands, because it keeps the defense honest and it gets other guys open and stuff like that. It doesn't all fall on the shoulders of Steph or Chris Paul or Draymond at the top of the key where guys are just like playing off of him from 5 feet. So, yeah, good overall game from Klay Thompson. Chris Paul led the team in minutes tonight. 36 minutes for Mr. Lil Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. Lil Chris. Like no, I mean, that's a lot of minutes, but also, again, I will say this about him. He is definitely shooting more now. That's a positive. However, again, I don't need him, you know, end of quarters, just dribbling, and then just throwing up whatever. Like, that's, I don't need that from you, especially when you have some other capables that are open that let's see, because you just throwing up stuff, barely hitting the rim, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. And that gets annoying because it's just like, dude, you spent all this time letting the ball roll up. And this was your plan. This is the final shot you decided that you would go with. This. So that's where I'm just kind of like, dude. And he's been turning it over a lot more. And it's just like, secure the ball. Like this game, again, we turned it over like ding dongs. But he's also in that. It's just like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Chris? Yeah, I just need him to just get it together. But still, hey, those middies, those elbows, all good. And yes, a three here and there when you're open. Yes, we need you to take it to keep the defense honest. But all this other stuff, no. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 4 turnovers tonight. But yeah, I mean, since he came back from the injury that he had, the hand injury, he's been 47 from the field, 42 from three, on about 3 attempts per game. So that's a good, decent volume for him, like it's around Draymond attempts, you know, but he's hitting 40% of them. 6 assists, 10 points. That's it. That's about solid for him. Like just come off the bench, score a little bit, facilitate, hit your open shots, take care of the ball. Like that's just Chris Paul's job on this team. He's been doing it, you know, pretty well. There's little things here and there that can kind of annoy us, like him taking every end of the quarter shot or stuff like that. But for the most part, he's been really, really solid. So Steve Kerr said, sorry about that. It's like my, can you hear that?
Yeah. Look, I thought it was mine. And then I was like, no, I finished washing clothes.
Yeah. So Kerr said he plans to keep starting TJD next to Draymond.
Well, hello.
I think it's the right decision, honestly.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, it gets them out to a nice defensive start every time, gets some easy buckets for everybody, and Trace has been playing very, very well, so you want to reward that. Jonathan's obviously been playing well all season, but he can still do his thing coming off the bench, and it just makes more sense positionally, I think.
And as we saw tonight, what happened? We had these starters start, and JK comes off the bench like a bat out of hell and just went to work. So again, it's really not about starting when it comes to him, really. I just feel like, hey, once you get out there, you check the landscape and you could just go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, Steph is the only lock as a starter. Yeah. Draymond is as close as it gets to being a lock as a starter without being Steph. And then from there, every other person has gone in and out of the starting lineup, right? We did it with Wiggins, Klay, Kuminga, Looney, all these guys. Yeah, Pods. just figuring out the right combinations. But I think this one makes the most sense for them because it resembles the most, I guess, Warrior-like lineup as a starting group that we've seen since the previous championships, right? Even the last championship, right? They started Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, and Looney. the pre-KD years, it was Steph, Clay, Draymond, HB, and Bogut, right? You have an athletic wing out there. You have Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and you have a traditional big that just, you know, does the big man things, rebounds, protects the rim however way they can, and just helps Draymond save his legs. So when you want to play your trump card, which is the death lineup, quote unquote,
right,
the more athletic lineup, you can just go to that at the end of the game and everybody's fresher because they've had the big guy doing all the dirty work for the whole game. So that just makes the most sense, I think, going forward. It's just a matter of, is Trace ready to play against those starting bigs that he's going to have to see potentially in the postseason?
I don't know if it about is Trace ready. I think it's just, you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
It's not about, are you ready? No, you're going to have to get ready and stay ready for the moment, because it's going to happen. But what do you see now that, because Wiggins will, I'm sure, be back come Tuesday. He will probably be in the starting lineup alongside Clay and Steph, Draymond, TJD. Now, does that still flow like that? Or with JK also coming back, does he hang out on the bench? Or what say you with this now?
With Wiggins coming back?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they should start that same lineup, honestly. Bring JK off the bench. And depending on the matchup, depending on the flow of the game, who's playing, you know, how good guys are playing, I think your default closing lineup should be JK in for Trace with the same four starters. That's your highest upside on both ends lineup, right? You got offense and defense, every position seemingly. So I think that's the go-to for now. If one of those guys isn't playing as well, then you could just plug them out for somebody else. But yeah, that's how I would do it.
All right, cool. Because Nat had brought up in the in our last episode is that, you know, doesn't feel like Kuminga should lose his starting spot just because of, you know, injury. But she also thinks that Clay should be starting anyway. So it was just one of those like, oh, what do we do here? Because now Kuminga will be coming back, but does he just get reinserted into the starting lineup? Or do we go with what has been cooking for these last, you know, five, six games now that, you know, we've just been on a roll? So
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately we all know JK is going to play more minutes than Trace, probably way more minutes than Trace. So just like the actual starting lineup thing, I don't think is super important, especially if it works and it's better for the team. Right. Like I said, we already established how it helps Klay Thompson on offense. It helps Draymond on defense. It helps everybody on defense because it puts everyone in their right position. So it just helps you establish a foundation at every game. I mean, the beginning of every half. And Trace is good, too. So it's like it gives them a different look, too. It gives them the lob threat, the guy who can finish inside, block shots, start fast breaks and transition opportunities as well. So it's not necessarily a question of like, is Trace better than JK, but it's just like this fits a little bit more. And obviously we know like Wiggins is more of a perimeter guy than JK, so we probably wouldn't make a lot of sense to start JK at the three just yet until he develops those skills. Or maybe something in the offseason you address, maybe you bring Trace off the bench next year and you bring in a starting five that can like stretch the floor a little bit or something like that. Then you can explore starting JK at the three because you now have more space for JK to operate. So, but that's like, we're not talking about that yet. That's
right. we trying to just be in this, you know, we just trying to get some wins.
Trying to get some wins. We trying to get into a playoff series.
Right. Exactly.
To get the play in. We just trying to get into the playoffs so these guys can get experience and, you know, they got a puncher's chance against anybody. Like
Exactly.
Honestly, if I'm looking at the West, I'm like, well, these teams are all these teams are good. All these teams can theoretically beat the Warriors, but I'm not looking at any of these teams and saying like, yeah, this is a guaranteed loss. Like, we're just going to get swept. We're going to lose in six, like whatever. I think they can beat any of these teams. Now, Denver is obviously top dog until they're knocked off. But Minnesota, OKC, LA, Clippers, Mavericks, Suns, I think the Warriors can go and beat any of these teams in a series, honestly.
And we've been in all of these games
including Denver. Like, they should have beaten Denver twice. Yeah. Out of the games that they played them. Yeah. Crazy.
Just all of them. It's just like we've been in, I feel like, the most clutch games of the season. And we've been right there every single time. So it's that's why I'm just like, no, we have a chance really against any of them. So
I've seen a stat. I forgot who on Twitter posted it. I think it might have been Warriors Muse or something like that, where they said Steph has hit like 10 go-ahead shots like at the end of games this season, and like seven of them have been returned by the other team. Pretty much like they hit a game winner of their own. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the tale of this season right there. Like, you know, you kind of get yourself into a position where you can win the game, but you also put yourself in a position where you can lose the game. And then just more times than not, they've been on the wrong side of the coin and just unlucky for a lot of these things. Like,
yeah,
but it is what it is. It still doesn't change the fact that they've been competing and doing well against pretty much every team in the league at some point this season. There's no team that we see that's just dominated them all year and they just can't beat them. So get into the playoffs and see what happens. Like, make something shake. Like, now, Denver is locked into first.
Oh, okay. They're locked in. I mean,
they're not locked into first. If Minnesota wins tonight, I think Minnesota gets first, but they have the same record. So I mean, I'm gonna say that Denver is probably gonna finish first.
Okay. So, because I know that I'm sure the Thunder are still trying to get that first seed.
Yeah, it's still super close. I mean, who does Denver have for the rest of the season? Okay, so they play the Jazz next, and then they play the Timberwolves. So that game probably decides who gets the first seed. That's pretty cool. So we will see who gets that first seed after that game. And if the Warriors are in that 9 or 10 spot, that would be who they would face in the first round of the playoffs if they made it through the play-in. So that's something to monitor as well. We are hoping that it's Timberwolves. I think that would be an easier series for the Warriors than Denver, but
easier, just, I think, more manageable, because, you know, once you get into the playoffs, nothing is easy. But just a more favorable matchup taking on the Wolves opposed to the Nuggets right out the gate. So,
yeah. Okay. Got anything else?
No, let's just keep winning.
Yeah, let's just do that. We were going to talk about the Dallas game, but like,
flush it down the toilet. Ugh, I thought we had it there. You know, we had the look and everything, just didn't fall for us. But without Luka, you know, I really thought we were going to do some damage. Mm-hmm. And listen, give it up to the Mavs for battling super hard and PJ having
fluke.
Just what?
Yeah.
Dude?
Okay. PJ took Steph's powers for that game. It's okay. I mean, Steph was a little gas, so he was. You know, his shots were a little flat, and then PJ just decided to drink Mike Jordan's secret stuff and hit every shot. So it is what it is.
But Curry did come down and hit that midi to tie it up. And so it wasn't that was a tough shot too. Mm-hmm.
Another one of those games.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He just did it. He just got us there. And we had the stop right there. I just think, okay, on that play where they doubled Kyrie, let's just flush this out really quick. Do we think that it should have been Chris in there with his size, doubling Kyrie with Draymond, opposed to maybe someone else coming off the bench and doing that double who is a lot taller?
That, yeah, I'm always going
to
vote
then that for pass maybe doesn't get to Tim Hardaway Jr.
I'm always in favor of sitting Chris Paul for defensive possessions. Like, I don't care what his IQ and his experience is. He's 6 foot and slow relative to his position at this point in his career. So just put someone that's longer, rangier, more athletic on the court and just trust that they won't make a mistake, right? Like, even if they make a mistake, there's a better chance of them recovering than Chris Paul, like, actually stopping somebody in these situations. So, yeah, I will always say Chris Paul. I think just in general that when they got it to THJ, Clay, he took, like, a weird angle. Like, he kind of had a false step there, and THJ kind of got a little step on him, but he recovered and got even with him. It was Draymond, I think, on the backside.
On the back,
he should have, once he saw Trace go for the help
he side should, block. Just let Trace take care of it. You stay on PJ.
There. He was rotating off of Kyrie down to PJ, but he was just, not fast enough. And he could have intercepted that pass or at least smacked it out of bounds, but he was just a step slow or off of it or not paying attention. So that's my biggest takeaway from it. Like, Draymond just kind of missed his opportunity to make the play right there. But flush it down the toilet. We are on to the Lakers. Let's just keep winning games. Win all the games remaining.
And defend at a high level. Yeah.
Yeah, keep defending. Keep playing defense. So that's all we got for you guys. We will see you guys after that Laker game. Remember to follow us on our socials at Golden Spaces Pod. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. Listen to wherever you get your podcasts. YouTube, 95.7 The Game's YouTube. Under their podcast feed, Golden Spaces, like us there. And we appreciate you guys.
Yes. Thanks. Thank you. Peace.